I want to share kind of a little story of something that happened with a friend of mine and I. A couple of years ago, I was going to a church that was just across the street from Fayette Mall. And we decided that for lunch, we would go. We decided that for lunch, we would go and have lunch at the food court in the mall. So we go to the food court and we eat and we laugh and we have a good time. And then we decide, oh, what if we just walk around the mall for a few minutes, about 30 minutes, kind of window shop a little bit, and then we'll head back home. So we walk around the mall and we do a little bit of window shopping. And then as we're on our way out of the mall, my friend looks into her purse and she's searching and she looks up at me with this horror-stricken look on her face. And she says, Jenny, I think I threw my keys in the trash can. And so I was like, well, we've only been walking for about 30 minutes. I'm sure that they're probably sitting close to the top. We can maybe get some napkins and reach in there and grab it out. And she's like, no, it's not worth it. We'll call somebody to pick us up. I'll get more keys made. Well, I finally convinced her to just go ahead and try to see if they're sitting close to the top and we grab them out. So we go over to the trash can. Mind you, by this point, the food court is filled with people who have had the same idea of getting out of church and going to eat at the food court, or maybe just going to the food court. And so we open the trash can, and it is spilling over with the most disgusting combination of Chinese food, what is that, chili place or whatever, everything. It was disgusting. And so we start to dig through this trash, and I'm still convinced that the keys can't be that far down. We haven't been gone that long. So we start to dig through the trash, and as we're digging, we realize that our efforts are pretty fruitless because the keys are nowhere to be found. And we're digging through the trash, and of course, we're making a spectacle of ourselves in the food court, and people are probably wondering what we're doing dumpster diving in the food court of the mall. Well, we dig, and something about the combination of, I guess, the amount of people who had ate food by the time we had left and the weight of my friend's keys, they were really close to the bottom. And so it's kind of a humiliating experience, but it's always a good story to tell. But I want to read to you guys a scripture that God really brought to my heart a couple of weeks ago. And it comes out of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, and then verses 35 and 36. And it reads, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You will need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Sometimes when I read scripture, I'm a very kind of literal-minded person. And sometimes when I read scripture, I really picture things very literally. And so when I read that, don't throw away your confidence, I thought, who in their right mind is so against confidence that they're just like, oh, I don't need this. I'll take, insecurity any day. But what it made me think about was my friend's keys. And it made me think about, there are about three major times in my life where I really struggled with confidence. That's not to say that there weren't more times, but there are three major times in my life where I really, really struggled with confidence for a significant amount of time. And the first time that happened was, it was about a year and a half after I got saved. I got saved a couple of weeks before I went off to college, which I know is probably a lot due in part to the prayers of my grandma. But I got saved a couple of weeks before I went off to college. And about a year and a half into my college experience and into my faith journey, I had been for obviously, that first year, just very zealous for the Lord. And I'm sure that a lot of you have probably felt this before whenever you came to know Christ or you really got excited about the salvation of Jesus or whatever. And I was really zealous for the Lord. And one of the things that was really heavy on my heart was sharing the joy of my salvation with my family, my immediate family, namely my mom and my sister, who were not believers or who aren't believers. And God really opened the door for me in the fall of my sophomore year to witness to my sister a couple of times. And then in the spring of that year, in February, my sister wrote me a letter and she said, Jenny, I've given my life to the Lord. And the whole world rejoiced, or at least in my mind, it seemed like the whole world rejoiced because I was so excited about this thing that had happened and about the joy that it would bring into her life. Well, that was February of that year. In April of that year, my sister committed suicide. And it's a really hard experience, obviously. And there are a lot of things that I had to work through and process through that. And there are a lot of things my family went through in that. But one thing that really happened and became a challenge for me was this issue of confidence. Not only confidence in God, but also confidence in myself and my ability to do ministry and my ability to be effective for the kingdom of Christ. And I struggled for a really long time with that. The second instance in my life was as a result of a relationship I had got involved in college. And this guy was my first Christian boyfriend, and I was pretty certain that we would get married. But for whatever reason, for various different reasons, that didn't work out. And afterwards, I really struggled with this confidence in hearing God's voice. You know, can I discern God's voice? Do I know where he's leading me? Because I really felt like I was kind of following him in this relationship. And the third time has been pretty recent. And it's been since I started my job here at Asbury. And just up until a few weeks ago, I really started struggling a lot with my confidence. I made a lot of mistakes in my first year, which is to be expected, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, is this for me? Can I do this? Am I effective? Am I making any kind of difference? Is there a better person for this job? And just really struggling through that. And one thing I noticed was that there was kind of a pattern that happened. In two of those three instances, and I could see it starting to begin, the process had begun in this third instance in my life. And I'll call that process, just in lieu of my story, the process of the food court trash can. So one of the things that I noticed is that in the first two instances, and even in the third instance, one thing that happened for me is that I got so caught up in what was going on in my life, and I got so busy in the doing of trying to be better, trying to be there for my family after my sister died, trying to, you know, get over the breakup and doing all these different things and keeping myself so busy that I really lost sight of my confidence in Christ. I stopped praying as much. I stopped reading my Bible as much. And I was really just kind of in a dry place spiritually, but for my because of my own doing, like just not really pursuing after God. And the thing that happened is that when I looked up and I finally realized that I no longer had my confidence, it took a lot of deep digging through the muck and the mire of my life before I could gain that confidence back. It took for me really digging deep into God to regain that. And luckily, God has been faithful, and he's shown me recently, when I started to struggle just in confidence in my position as a resident director, just how faithful he is to bring me out of that if I can just press through, if I can just hold on. And that's something that I'm still living out. It's still a reality for me right now. But when Glenn first approached me about speaking in chapel, or he sent me an email about speaking in chapel a little under a month ago, I didn't know what I would speak about. And even when I met with him a couple of weeks ago to kind of talk a little bit about chapel, I still wasn't quite certain what it was that I was going to share in terms of my faith journey. And I found something in a journal that I had written 2 years ago, and I'd like to share that with you, if you'll allow me to do so. It starts off with a quote. It starts off with a quote that I read in previous different books, but it's a quote by Nelson Mandela, and it reads, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light and not our darkness that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you." I read this quote almost a year ago to the day in a book called Waking the Dead. Tonight I reread these words in a book called Messy Spirituality. This past week has been a search into humility and what it looks like. And I have a feeling that God is calling me to meditate on this subject for a much longer amount of time. You see, I've been struggling with feelings of inadequacy. I've been comparing myself to others. I've been squelching any thoughts about the great things that are in me. But I know that God hears the prayers of the righteous. And the word tells me that once I come into the kingdom of God, I'm the righteousness of God. So I'm reminded of these words that God spoke into my life a year ago. Don't you know that I've made you in my image? Anytime you degrade yourself, you degrade me. Anytime you deny and misuse the gifts that I have given you, you are no better than the one who hid his talent in the ground and waited for the master's return. Will I not bestow on you the same fate as him? Why do you compare yourself to others upon whom I've given other talents? Don't you know that all I have is yours if you will just open your hands, heart, mind, and soul, and receive them? When you hide the ways that I bless you, you fail to expose me. No amount of false humility or religious jargon will hide these facts from me. You honor me by living life to its fullest. You honor me by speaking truth about how I've kept you. You honor me by being who I called you to be. And I've called you to be you, not somebody else. It doesn't matter how much you felt that you've messed up things or failed in the past. You fail to humble yourself when you refuse to acknowledge how I've redeemed you. You refuse to be humble when you meditate on your insufficiencies and not on me. And I just want to read a couple of passages of scripture that I feel like God is really writing on my heart. Not just in this time of my life, but something that he has brought up for me all during these three times that I've struggled kind of with this issue. The first one is Psalm 118, verse 8, and it reads, "It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man, even when that person, that man or that person is you." And I had to realize that a lot of times I put confidence in my ability to do things, and that's when I really realized that I couldn't do it, and I struggled with that inadequacy and that insufficiency. The second one is Psalm 27, verses 1 and 13. And it reads, "The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I am confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And finally, I just want to leave you with these words from the scripture that I read earlier, Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36. "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded, and you will you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Thank you.
All right, my name is Will Schaus. I'm an '02 graduate of Asbury College. I played basketball here from '98 to '02. I'm not going to talk about any of my stats up here, but I put Gary Kemp at the back door. My wife is here at the front. If you want any statistics, I printed them out, and we'll hand them to you on the way out. Anybody that's in any of my classes, there'll be a test on this next week, so study hard. Now, I have to introduce my wife. She hates it. I embarrass her, but we all have dreams and aspirations in college. One of mine, actually my only one, was to be a successful college basketball coach. I daydreamed about it in class when I should have been studying. I daydreamed about it in this chapel, unfortunately, when I should have been listening. But a lot of times you don't know what you're signing up for. My wife didn't know she was signing up to be a single mom for 6 months out of the year, or follow me on these road trips and things like that. But don't worry, she takes out her frustrations on the referees if you're ever at the game. So she's good at that. Anyway, I met with my father-in-law, Stu Smith, who works here, about this, what I should say this morning. I said, listen, I'd really like to give some shout-outs to my players. I'm the basketball coach here. I forgot to say that. I'm a basketball coach here now. But I want to give some shout-outs to my players. He's like, no, you can't do that. It's inappropriate. You can't do that at chapel. And so Jordan Noble, it's inappropriate. I can't do it. Corey Britt, it's inappropriate. I can't do it here. Philip, I see you up there. Sorry, I can't acknowledge you up there. So, just let me tell you a little about this. I hope today that, back in the day, 10 years ago, I was a freshman here. And I definitely wasn't a great example or even a good example of what a Christian man should be. I sat right up there, had my feet up in the, on there. I was laid back, just sleeping, anything I get away with, just trying to wait till 4 o'clock till we had basketball practice. So It wasn't malicious. It just wasn't, I wasn't mature in my faith yet. So I'm going to teach you today on one end of it, how to mentor, how to help these guys and girls that were like me. And on the other hand, if you're like me, that's fine, because maybe you'll be speaking in chapel someday. But anyway, this kind of sums me up as far as how I was. And if you were in my class, you've heard this story. I'm sorry you're going to hear it again. Tag groups are great. I really enjoyed them. They're very good for Asbury College. But we were in our tag groups. We're all sitting. This was the first day. They go around the circle. They say, you know, introduce yourself. Tell how you got here at Asbury. So I go first. You know, my name is Will Schaus. I got here at Asbury. It's close to my hometown. Very pretty campus. I get to play basketball. Next. So like six people say, yeah, you know, the Lord came in a dream to me. So I was like, whoa, bring it back. I want to change my answer. So that was how I was. Nothing malicious, nothing mean. I wasn't against God. I just wasn't for him at the time. So here's some things that are kind of like a profile of me. And I know it. One of these will fit you. And I know it fits some of my players at this time. And some of you I just don't know yet, so I'll get to know you. Number one, you know the Lord and love the Lord, but you don't seek him daily. Like I said, you're a friend of God's. You know he's working for you, but you know there's days you take off. Number two, you have a relationship with God, but you aren't comfortable talking about that relationship. And this is more because we're introverted. And they did a study, basketball players are more introverted than any other sports. I haven't looked into as many other sports, but as far as that goes, basketball players are a lot like that. So if you notice being quiet around campus, we're not mean, we're not intimidating, we just don't talk a lot. Number three, you know the things that push you away from God, but somehow you find yourself involved in them. And it's not like you're doing them purposefully. All of a sudden you just open your eyes like, what am I doing? Number four, you attend church and pray at the dinner table, but not when something great happens to you. So you go through the routines, but not when you need to. Number five, you pray when you need something or in an emergency. And it's usually because you've gotten in trouble doing something that you're not proud of. So here are the tips for the people that want to reach out to the Will Schauses of Asbury College. Number one, let's develop relationships. We don't do enough of this. The faith-sharing New Testament, which I have up here, states in the back that most persons become disciples of Christ because of the testimony, deeds, and encouragement of someone they trust. So it's rare that you're going to walk up to somebody you don't know, tell them everything they're doing wrong, give them a Bible, and that they're going to follow the steps. Develop a relationship. Let's get to know each other. And then, you know, we can make those steps. But these are going to take a while. And the professors do a good job of it here, too. You know, during my time, these people just ask me, hey, you know, how I did in my game, you know, the other night. They'll ask me about my hometown. Dr. Oswald was a very big person in this area. Rita Pritchett and Stu Smith and Anna McEwen. So they helped me out in my time and took an interest in me, and I really thank them for that. Now, of course, as years goes on, my best friends happen to be my players here at Asbury. And I know you say, Coach, you know, you can't be best friends with your players. But we spend a lot of time together, and I take a lot of interest in what they do, and I care about them. So hopefully, you know, we can have a difference in these guys. The next one is don't make anyone your project if you're mentoring to them. The last thing that I wanted to be was on a special list that somebody had in their dorm room of people that they saved. These are people who didn't make a relationship with me. They just wanted to tell me what I was doing wrong. Now, their message was great. They meant well, but it just didn't come across very well. So we got to be careful when we're doing that. Number three, if you're helping these guys or girls, you need to make sure you mention God's name in just in regular conversation. Like, you know, the Lord really helped me on that test. You know, God really got me through this. Because us, we weren't comfortable talking about God. It just was out of our comfort zone. So this started me out. You know, God really helped us in that game. You know, God really helped me coming back from my injury. So that helps us be comfortable, and that's a baby step that we can take to get more comfortable. Now, those are just three easy steps for people that are mentoring us. Now, here are three steps for the people, for the Wilshouses of the community. Okay? God's going to take something that you're passionate about, whether it be music, whether it be art, whatever you're passionate about. For me, it happened to be basketball. And I look back, and I see that God led me here through the game of basketball. And we look at some people and say, hey, they're just here to play soccer, or they're just here to play basketball. They're not buying into Asbury College. Well, you know what? God brought them here through that game of basketball, and they just haven't learned it yet. Okay, I didn't learn it till my junior year, but he used basketball for me, and now I'm using basketball for him. I'm teaching these guys, you know, that we're using basketball as a tool to spread ministry. You know, we played in the prison up here at North Point, and you know, it was great to see some of these guys witnessing and sharing with the inmates in an environment that's unlike any other. We have been on mission trips. And you know what? Those mission trips, we got to play basketball. I went on one where a person said, you know what, you guys got to leave the basketballs in the bus. Well, I felt like I was preaching without a Bible, because that was what my tool was to teach the word. So basketball has done a lot for me, and God's done a lot with me through basketball. The next thing, God's plan for you is way better than ours. Okay? It's way better than your own. Okay? Let me run you through this. This is a perfect example of, you know, God's plan being better than mine. I was the head coach for 2 years at Kentucky Christian University before I came here. I had a very good player on my team, Makeem Scott. It's called Makeem the Dream. He put up a lot of points. Well, he's one of those guys, very emotional. I'm very emotional too. We went through about the last five or six games of the season. This was last year, where we'd win on a big play or where it was a very emotional win. And Keem was one of those guys that he'd get too fired up and he'd start crying and snot be coming out of his nose and he'd be slobbering all over and he'd just be pumped up. And then I'd just hug him and you know, we'd dance in the locker room together. So it was... It was great, and I love doing that stuff because I just get pumped up. Well, so we're riding to the national tournament. We made it to the national tournament. So we're riding, and on the way, you know, I'm daydreaming. I love to do that. I said, you know what, if we win this game, if we win on a last-second shot or something like that, you know, we can put this on a recruit DVD, and I'm going to run across the floor and hug a king, and we're going to, you know, and we're going to slow it down and maybe put maybe the Rocky music with it or something like that. And so we do it in slow motion. So I had it all planned out every step of the way. So all of a sudden, we're in the Elite Eight. We'd won our first round game. We're in the Elite Eight playing the home team. And it's a packed house. Well, it's a tie ball game, 40 seconds left. They go down and score. So we're down two. Well, I didn't call a timeout or anything. We're just running the floor. We happen to end up with a wide open three-pointer. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, here we go. So, you know, we hit the three-pointer. We win. The buzzer goes off. We win. So I start taking off. I'm running. And I can see. Well, my assistant coach, he's probably 5'5", 130. He grabs onto me like a koala bear around my neck, and I just cannot get him off. And I see Akeem over there, and he's dancing around, and he's looking too. So I'm making my way over there, and everybody's grabbing me. And my Akeem Scott, the one I hugged for six games, all season, we cried together and everything, is hugging somebody else. So I just turn around and hug my wife. So that plan probably should have happened before hugging Akeem. I probably should have hugged my wife first. So I made the right choice. So anyway, another thing. God's plan sometimes doesn't make sense. I coached here. After I played here, I was the assistant basketball coach here for 4 years. I was very hungry to be a head coach. Well, I got the call one day. I also taught elementary school. And I got the call... in my classroom from somebody at Kentucky Christian. And they said, you interested in being a head coach? I said, yeah, of course. And I said, you know, what's it pay? And he said, well, what do you make now? And I told him, he said, well, you're going to make about $5,000 less than what you're making. I said, well, okay. You know, how much scholarship money you got? We don't give athletic scholarships here. Well, how many students are there? Maybe, you know, maybe if we got a lot of students, we got a lot to pull from. There's 600 students here. It's like, all right. You know, any jobs for my wife there? We can help her out. Maybe part-time. We can maybe hook her up with some part-time. Well, where is there any places to live? Well, you know, you're going to have to look. Come down here and look. What's the closest mall? Because, you know, my wife likes to go to the mall. He said, probably half hour away, which ain't cutting it for wit. So I was like, well, I'll take it. Yeah. Sounds good, I'll take it. But I guess my next question was, how big's our biggest guy? And he said, about 6'1". So anyway, it wasn't as much a leap of faith for me because I wanted to be a head coach. But I tell you, God really took care of Whitney during those 2 years. And we're very thankful to be back. And it laid the foundation. I could have never spoke two years ago in chapel, but I got a chance to do it at Kentucky Christian. I wasn't mature enough to be a head coach 2 years ago. Those guys stuck with me, and maybe I am now. We'll see. But anyway, like I said, the Lord's got a better plan for you than you have for yourself. And the last one, take baby steps in your faith for these guys. First semester, like I said, when I sat up there, I was laid back, didn't listen much, just tried to get through every chapel that I could, used all my skips, and, you know, didn't sing, didn't even open the hymnal. The person sitting beside me would always offer hymnal. I didn't even open. I just stood up there. Second semester, I decided the one step I was going to take was I was going to sing every song in chapel, and bless their heart, whoever sitting next to me then. But they... But I did. I opened the hymnal and I sang, and that got me a step closer to God. Then I made the decision I was going to go to a couple of the hall prayers, and that got me a little closer. And, you know, throughout the years, I've been taking baby steps the whole way. And these are ways that nobody has to see right away. You can take them and nobody has to notice. And I did, you know, along the way, I've taken more steps and more steps. I never dreamed I'd be here in chapel, but I guess the steps have led me here. In closing, you know, Asbury was great to me. It continues to be great for me. It can be great for you. But take advantage of these opportunities that you have. Develop relationships with people. If you want to make a difference, you're not going to do it by going up to them and telling them what they're doing wrong. You need to develop relationships, care for each other, and that'll get you there. I appreciate you this morning, and look to see you at the games.